Dave, I'm pleased you're with us finally. Before we have a chat about Hardwick Circus, for those very few listeners that don't know who you are, why don't you give us a little background as to your musical history?
Well, I ran a couple of record companies mainly. That's what I'm known for. Stiff Records, which some people may know. And I also worked and ran Island Records for a couple of years.
Indeed. Well, we've already had several listeners who've heard that you're coming on to do an interview and have been on to say they are eternally grateful for all that you did for music-wise, especially in the late 70s. One particular listener, Mr. Big Daddy Vegas, said that without you, it would have been a very, very different landscape. So he's doffing his cap to you. So there we go.
He should tell my wife. She'd enjoy that.
Now, the reason that we've got you on today specifically is because of Hardwick Circus, a band that I first became aware of through one of our other presenters, Steve Lee. I don't know if you want to just tell the listeners the story as to how they've ended up at Glastonbury today.
Well, it seems that Paul McCartney has in some way connected to them, maybe online or whatever, and he obviously was talking to somebody at the festival, this is how we're getting the story, and said, there's this young band, what about the chances of them getting on? And when Sir Paul asked that theoretical question, everybody, thankfully, swung into action.
Yes.
And we got the final slot of the entire festival. So we're in essence, headlining the entire festival. So
Brilliant.
We'll be playing from about 3 o'clock on Monday morning to everybody who's left.
Right.
And there's quite a few. So it's going to be a very big night. We're anticipating there will be a lot of other musos. There'll be a lot of people getting up to do songs. And hopefully we can hold it all together. We're really looking forward to it.
What was the reaction of the band when they found out that Paul McCartney was?
Yeah, extraordinary, really. I mean, what can you say? It's a moment to savor. And it's what you work for, you rehearse hours and hours and hours, you're constantly twiddling with it, trying to make it better, trying to write better songs, and then you get this kind of endorsement, and of course it's just marvellous.
How does this sort of figure? I mean, you have an illustrious musical past with Stiff Records and the various different artists that you've managed over the years. How does this sort of rank amongst all the different things that you've done during your career?
Well, this is the future. This is, tomorrow's sound today, So all the other stuff is history, and it's been great. But here we are on the cusp of something new, and that's extraordinary. I don't know if the old body will stand up to it, but I'm still out on the road and doing my bit.
But you clearly, you're not in any rush to retire from the music business then.
No, this is the project, and we're all on this project, and everybody's working hard, and that's the essence of what makes great music.
How did you come across this particular band?
It's a very convoluted story. My son, Milo, who's a photographer, heard them playing in a pub in Camden Town, and he knew that this particular pub didn't actually have music. He lives in Camden Town, so he knew that this pub didn't have it. An Irish establishment, and went in and found this very young, enthusiastic band playing in the middle of the floor of this pub, and decided that maybe he should go into management. So he dragged me into the idea, promised me that I wouldn't actually be doing management. I'd be advising him, he'd do the management, and I would be the kind of background information. He then, after a year of that, his photography career really took off, and he said, "Look, Dave, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to have to get on with that." So I was left kind of holding the baby, really.
Well,
I felt like a grandfather at the time, but the band have proved very resilient and writing great stuff now. It's all to do with the songs, that's the essence of what makes it work.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, I first came across them, one of our presenters here on the station, Steve Lee, alerted me to them, and he gave me the CD of them, and I've listened to their stuff as well since on Spotify. And I suppose, with the background you've had, I mean, obviously you started Stiff Records with a think it said £400 loan. I suppose back in those days, everything was physical production. These days, managing a band, I guess, is very different to how it was when you first started.
Very, very, very different, because you can't get the instant reaction. Although the internet is great, it also is very short circuit. So you get some action, you get things happening, but, you know, there's another headline very quickly following on. You don't get the kind of emotional investment from the public. Mm. It takes quite a lot of effort to establish yourself. And obviously COVID and 2 years out have been very bad for young bands trying to make it. So we're trying to show what can be done. The band have just finished a prison tour, which, you know, a lot of people are saying, why the prisons? Well, A, the band are in, you know, invest themselves in the idea of education and music in prisons. It took a bit of interest from some inmates to make that happen, and they've just made a live album, which was made in the prisons around the country. It's called At Her Majesty's Pleasure, and a lot of interesting stories that you wouldn't come across in the regular rock and roll world.
Yeah, whose idea was it to do the prison tour?
Well, I had Ian Dury, actually, is who actually had the idea of years back. I got him into Wormwood Scrubs and a couple of other prisons to do a show. And I thought that the Hardwick young guys from Carlisle, who luckily have not been in prison before, it would be interesting to see what that environment is. And it was remarkable, because the band had to do question and answer bits after playing, in order for the prisons to be able to feel it was not just a jolly, it was educational. And the band were very impressed with the kind of stories, kind of interest, kind of questions that inmates in jail had to the music business, to the, you know, songwriting, poetry. And there's a lot of, it's an interesting area. We could talk for several hours on what we think, but we pioneer the idea. The band talk about the idea and the requirement and necessity for more interest in stopping people reoffending, and more like, you know, getting out and having a new life. So it's a very interesting area.
It's amazing. I mean, that is an amazing thing to do. And I guess, as you say, getting the feedback from the inmates as well, from a sort of different perspective to normal, must have been very interesting and probably quite grounding, I suppose, for the band.
Well, you can go to jail for one mistake, can't you? You know, I mean, there are some people who spend their life having a criminal attitude, but there's an awful lot of people who go just out of stupidity, lack of knowledge, lack of education, a lot of mental health in the prisons, a lot of bad mental health, and you know, we don't feel that people should be there. Music, on the other hand, does open a lot of doors, and it was interesting to see how this would happen, and it is very therapeutic, and you can see it. The other rather interesting thing is that the songs and the lyrics that the band write have a resonance, a different resonance in a prison, and as they would in a war zone to a degree. You know, they have a song called "Let's Make New Mistakes."
Yes, we played that earlier.
It causes a big flurry of applause and shouts when they announce that song, for example.
Yeah, I bet. Well, I suppose for you, I mean, you're obviously managing this particular band now. Are you looking to manage other bands going forward?
No. This is my swan song.
Right, okay. So you would say you're sort of semi-retiring a little bit, maybe?
Well, you can't retire if you're looking after a band. It's a never-ending process, because you've got to seize the moments that occur. Yeah. Like this Paul McCartney, Glastonbury possibility. That immediately, you know, is something you want to get on, and you want to spread, and you want to get as much out of it as possible. That's how it becomes a big thing.
I suppose looking back over your career, you yourself started off, I believe, as a photographer yourself. Did you ever sort of keep in touch with the Beatles? I think you photographed the Beatles, didn't you, at the Cavern Club? But did you ever sort of keep in touch with them at all? Would Paul McCartney obviously knows who
I
you
have,
are?
You know, probably four or five times in my life I've had a conversation with Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And a band I was involved in, Brinsley Schwartz, toured with Wings.
Mm.
So, a very interesting guy, you know, a very genuine person, very authentic, and, you know, no real side to him, although, you know, he is probably one of the most famous musicians we all know.
Well, it's interesting. I don't know if you've seen the Get Back documentary on
TV.
I did
all 9 hours of it.
Yeah, and it's incredible when you watch that and you watch the songs being almost formulated in front of your eyes. And I mean, I've watched about half of it so far, and I think the one thing that comes across to me is how passionate Paul was about the Beatles, perhaps the most of all of the four members, and about how he was desperately trying to keep them together in the face of what was clearly a band that were already sort of on the slide at that point, I guess.
Well, there was no criteria for a group at all in those days. They were all handled by business people. They were all signed agreements to business people without any real legal help in those days. And, you know, the Beatles obviously shone forth through the songwriting. So that's what everybody has grasped, is that if you write great songs, you know, you can find perhaps, hopefully, a George Martin, a producer, or you can get help. But the job is to push your own project forward and to write looking for that great song. That's you know, mm-hmm. In my younger days, they used to say, looking for the lost chord, you know, and we're still looking for it.
I know this is going to be a difficult question, and I just wondered, of all the many different artists that you managed, which artist or band you had the fondest memories of?
Well, it has to be Madness, but all of them. You know, Ian Dury was a close friend as well as a musician. But the Madness boys are very genuine, still great friends. Still doing the same thing, and remarkably more famous than they were, and doing more business. Very good. We played with them at Brockwell Park, Hardwick Circus, recently in London, and it was their musicality was very impressive.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, remarkable that all the musicians that you're involved in, you try and stay with, because they become friends over a period of years.
Well, I guess the band at Hardwick Circus must be very pleased that they've got somebody like you with your sort of hinterland of musical
knowledge.
Well,
you can certainly ask them about that, you know. Yeah. I mean, last night we did a show in Eastbourne, and we were rehearsing because there's new songs for the new album we're looking into. And one of the pool players said to me, he said, "Oh, incredible band, they're extraordinary. And they were playing really great, and then you were still shouting at them." You know?
Well, yes, but then I guess it's that they're prepared to listen because they know that they've got somebody managing
that's
them
that knows
the business.
It doesn't work unless it's a kind of partnership, you know.
And I mean, are they ready for tonight? They're obviously all excited about doing this show.
Yeah, tonight we are in Rugby. And we will be in Glastonbury tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow, right, okay. Yeah, so tomorrow you're in Glastonbury, and obviously you'll be there with them?
Yep.
And, well, that should be... Hopefully, we'll see them on the BBC coverage is pretty extensive these days, so hopefully we'll see...
Well, it'll be a very late night, you know. We actually take the stage at 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday.
Yeah, but pretty... I mean, I know that the BBC, they put out a pretty good highlights package after the concert's
over.
We'll
be encouraging people to use their cameras, yeah.
Brilliant.
We want people to see what happened.
Fantastic. Well, look, Dave, thanks ever so much for coming on and doing the interview today. It's been
good,
brilliant,
Jim.
Brilliant
really
to talk to you.
Keep playing the track.
I will do. Do stay in touch, Dave. We'll maybe get you on again at some point and chat about the rest of your career, which we could probably do an entire show about, but we can sort that out another time maybe. But good luck with the Glastonbury, and we'll keep playing Hardwick Circus.
Thanks very much.
Thanks
Jim.
A lot, Dave.
All the best.
Take care.
Everybody.
Many thanks to Dave Robinson for coming on and having a chat about Hardwick Circus and all other things musical related. Top stuff. Great bloke, Dave Robinson. First time I've ever chatted to him, but really good. And do try and catch Hardwick Circus if you can watch any of the Glastonbury stuff. I'm sure on the highlights package they'll be shown. They'll be playing at the behest of Paul McCartney, which is absolutely fantastic.